Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast with host Ralph Malbro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of The Team Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get his...
I don't even have a joke, Dave smells like nougat.
Now here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
Welcome to Saints Happy Hour Podcast. As always, we are sponsored by you, the fan. People that are registered for our drafts, people, you got to pay. The reason we do the fantasy football draft is for fun and to fund the podcast. Only about half you people have signed up. You need to get with me and pay the fee. Just get with me and pay the fee. You got another Drunk History episode, 2010, which people originally were like, I hate 2010, 2010 sucked. Then they listened to the podcast, Andrew, and they were like, yeah, I forgot how awesome 2010 was. Yeah, the ending sucked, but the season itself was great. So there. Andrew, was it just another boring week in Charlottesville? Nothing ever happens there, right?
Yeah, no, just, you know quiet, quaint.
We're not going to get into it. I just wanted to
move. Yeah,
I just wanted to mention that for the first time maybe ever on the podcast, Andrew was in the center of news that wasn't football related. But anyway, the Saints, we were going to talk about how they looked pretty good against Cleveland, but the Saints, no. They did the rare thing this week, Andrew. They broke news before the podcast actually started. Nick Under.
Yeah, and let's give a little credit to Nick. He broke this.
Nick is the best beat writer the Saints have ever had in my lifetime, and I don't just say that because he follows me and he's nice. He really is. Like he knows his shit, and he's starting to break news, which that's how you get places.
Well, he's nice except for when he's really salty.
Yeah, he'll be salty like 3-4 times a year with me, but he won't block me. He'll just unfollow me, and then he'll follow me back like a couple days later. But it's cool. We love Nick. But he broke it. Delvin Bro is on the trade block, and I don't think it's a coincidence that on the day where Hendrickson gets back, Lattimore gets back, Unger gets back, and Ramchak continues to be back, the one guy who's not back is Bro, and they're like, you know, maybe we'll trade him. That's not a coincidence to me, Andrew.
Yeah, I mean, it makes you wonder if Sean Payton was like, look, guys, if you're not practicing, I'm gonna ship you out of here.
And he's been dropping the guys who fight through it like Muhammad are good. You know, he's been flat out saying availability is key.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't think it's a coincidence that those three guys are back, because I wouldn't be surprised if Sean Payton said, look, I don't care if you're a first round pick, a third round pick, I'll cut your ass. I'll ship you out of here. I'll trade you. I will cut your ass. It does not matter. Like, I'm going with 53 guys that are playing.
Yeah. But here's the thing is I feel like Sean Payton is a little bit emotional like a woman in that he cut Ellerbe before training camp, which had no purpose whatsoever. And I get that Ellerbe is hurt all the time, and he's probably your best linebacker. So it drives you fucking crazy that he's hurt all the goddamn time. But at least bring him to camp. And if he's not healthy and he's not good to go, fine. Then cut him. But they didn't even bring him to camp, give him a chance to go along. Then maybe he's hurt and it's just done and he couldn't go at all, so they were like, fuck it. But I feel like with Bro and with Ellerbe, you got to wait and see before you're like, cut him, trade him, you know? Because the thing is, the Saints, even with Bro, if you Well, explain your theory about this didn't really phase you today. You have a theory about Bro, which is pretty good, about how he's never healthy and you weren't depending on him for any chunk of games. Explain
that. Well, no, I don't know that that's the case. It's just, you know, it's kind of a revolving door. The Saints are stuck in a cycle here where the guys that get injured just keep getting injured. And Bro is, unfortunately now, I mean, it's starting to feel like he's just one of those guys. He's like Ellerby, you know, he's perpetually injured. So I don't know how much I was expecting him to play. But, you know, if he plays eight games, like how many of those eight games is he going to be any good? You know, and I just go back to, like, he broke his leg. He came back too soon last year and he tried to play on that broken leg and he was garbage. And now he's got a leg contusion, which makes me think it
same
might
leg.
Be.
Same
so
leg.
Yeah, it might be related to the break. Once again, coming back too soon, and you know, I just wonder if, you know, apparently he was on crutches and a boot today, and I think it was Larry Holder that tweeted that or somebody tweeted that basically the injury is worse than they thought, and that it's still kind of a day to day thing, but that a leg contusion like wasn't.
What exactly is
a contusion? Is basically a bruise.
Okay.
I mean, it's basically, yeah. So they're saying it's worse than that, but yeah, it's the same leg that he's had issues with. So, you know, this is starting to feel like the Drew Holiday thing. Remember that stress fracture that kept dragging on and on and on. So like at some point, like, I don't blame Sean Payton. At some point, like the guy's got to play. And like, if he plays and he's got kind of a bum leg, is he going to be any good? You know, because as a corner, like you have to have your feet and your legs. I mean, that's the most important part to be able to run with receivers. And I don't know, man, this is just another hit to this team and this defense. And if Bro, like if they trade him away, like that's why I would be in a wait and see. I would lobby for wait and see with Bro because I just know this defense can't really be any good without him. And if they ship him out, I mean, this starts to feel like they're tanking.
Dude, if they ship Bro out, let me tell you something, you PJ Williams truthers. It all rests on your guy.
Yeah, they're doubling down on a guy that they're like, oh, you're too injured, Bro. We're going to double down on a guy that's played one game in 2 years. I mean, imagine how insane that is.
A guy
has played one of 32 possible games. One. And that's somehow the guy you're basically counting on because Bro's too injured for you.
And here's the thing. I was arguing with a couple people. They're friends of the podcast, so it was all in fun. They were like, you know, Dalvin Bro's not injury prone because none of his injuries are related. I'm like, look, injury – you have multiple injuries, you're fucking injury prone. It's why half the Pelican bloggers blocked me. Because I was like, shut up with this garbage about Drew Holiday not being fucking injury prone. He's fucking injury prone. When you have, if you break a leg and then sprain an ankle, have an MCL, have a concussion, like, they're not all related, and you can say that, yeah, they're all freak things, but that dude with all those injuries is fucking injury prone. And that's Delvin Bro and PJ Williams, you know, and Lattimore. They're all fucking injury prone. And I just like.
You ever watch that show Lost?
I love the Lost.
Yeah, Lost is a great show, but I don't know if you remember, but there's that character Desmond.
Oh yeah,
and he keeps saving. You know, he like went back in the future and then in the past, and so he has like all this foresight, and he keeps saving Charlie's life. You know, that one of the characters, and so he keeps saving his life because like he knows he's about to die. But like if he just saves him, it's just punting it for the next death that's going to occur to Charlie like 2 days later. And eventually, like he's like, I can't save you forever, bro.
And he so, does, and he doesn't. Spoiler.
It's like a self, yeah. It's like a self fulfilling prophecy. It's just, it's not a matter of if, but when.
You know, and look, the thing is with the Saints is they are actually, as of today, pretty healthy. You know, they got everybody back. As long, you know, Onyemata didn't practice today, but I think
so. We're not counting Fairley and.
We're just counting guys that. Could practice.
Could start.
Could start season. And could practice. Unger was back today. Hendrickson was back today. Ramchek's been back for a couple days. Lattimore, he was doing individual stuff. So, like, they're all back and healthy, you know. And I think Ted Ginn just got an old man rest day, so he's fine. So it was good. I mean, the thing is, though, like, I don't like corner just without Bro. It's just it's not good enough to succeed. I don't, and the thing is, like, you can't do anything at corner unless you give up major assets. Like Philadelphia traded.
Which they won't do.
No, Philadelphia got a corner, a Darby from Buffalo, who is, if you go by PFF grades or different things, he's kind of all over the place. But he's viewed as a pretty solid corner. He's got a couple years left on a low contract. They had to give up a starting wide receiver and a second round pick for him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So like corner and defensive end are just things that teams don't fucking give up, you know. Because the thing is, teams get to this point and they're like, we need them all. We're not giving you the, unless the guy is like holding out or something. They're just not gonna do it unless.
Sean Payton's own words: you can never have too many. I mean, those are straight out of his mouth.
Yeah. I want to say the only person that would do it would be like Belichick, because he would like ship Malcolm Butler off in the middle of the year for like a third or a second round pick. Like, I could see Belichick doing it, but Belichick's got fucking 5 Super Bowls. But that's the only person.
He doesn't need corners.
Yeah. So, we'll see. So, with all that happening, the Saints actually looked pretty good in Cleveland. We were, you know, to be honest, Andrew, we'll be honest with the people. We were texting back and forth. We were like, they might get torched. Like, we know Osweiler's terrible, but they missing guys, and Osweiler might light them up. We were thinking that going into the game, and we forgot that Osweiler's just fucking terrible. He was Osweiler. He's fucking terrible. But
we joke, but like, remember, I mean, there was a time, and this is a year or two ago, where the Saints were giving up. You know, we were saying, who's the MVP? Is it Tom Brady? Is it Matt Ryan? And the answer was no. The MVP is whoever is playing the Saints at quarterback.
Yes.
Because he's putting up better stats on average than the MVP's numbers. So, you know, there were some bad quarterbacks. I mean, I can't rattle off the exact names of the guys that were lighting us up at the time.
Hoyer,
yeah. Mariota.
Bortles. They won the game, but Bortles lit him up.
Yeah, so, I mean, the quarterbacks like that were lighting the Saints up. And
Goff's only good plays last year are against the Saints.
Yeah, so you know what? Even if it's an awful quarterback, if the Saints are making or not looking awful, that excites me.
Yeah, and the thing is, I threw this out there on Twitter is, you know, in 2012, I know it's a long time ago, 5 years ago now, but they played second year quarterback Blaine Gabba Gabbert in the preseason to start the year, and he fucking lit them up. He was like 13 or 16 for like 200 yards and 2 scores. And that was a flashing red light to say, hey guys, this is the worst defense in the history of the world. So that Bortles couldn't light them up is a good sign. Now, I counted, I don't chart.
You mean, not Bortles.
Osweiler. So I don't chart the games like I used to, but I counted 4 throws where like a competent quarterback would have made the throw. Like, there were guys that were open, and Osweiler just blows. And I think, like a quarterback that would have been rated anywhere from the best quarterback to, like, 16 would have made the throw. Like, put it this way. Jay Cutler, the definition of, like, the average quarterback who's up and down and all over the place. They had, like, 4 throws that Osweiler just couldn't make because he blows. Cutler would have made those 4 throws, and you would have viewed the game different.
Yeah, I'm with you.
You know, but the thing is, I said going into the game, the corner, I didn't even give a shit about the corner because they were hurt or whatever. The thing that I was most excited about in the game, we'll get to Crawley in a second because I think you had an interesting theory about him. But to me, the fact that the Saints didn't get shoved around by Cleveland's offensive line, which, oh, by the way, they spent a shit ton of money on in the offseason. Mm-hmm. The Saints didn't get shoved around. Cleveland couldn't run the ball the whole night. And to me, at least that shows me that there's a good chance that the Saints' defensive tackle, They might not get the pass rush of Fairley, but they won't get their ass pushed back 3 or 4 yards and teams can't run the ball. Because if the teams can run the ball against the Saints are fucking done. They're probably done anyway, but if at least if they can stop the run, they have a fighting chance. And that, to me, was the best thing I saw from the whole defense. Onyemata, you can get into it, but Onyemata, he is a fucking physical freak. Like, he did it that screenplay where he was like, oh yeah, that's a screen, and just like destroyed the dude.
Yeah, he blew up the play. I mean, yeah. He showed good athleticism too. All of it. So I was excited. I mean, you know, you kind of said it, but I think the main thing that I took away is really the play of both lines. You know, it wasn't just looking at. Now, the Browns didn't have Joe Thomas, and so when you look at those Kikaha wins early in the game against the left tackle, I mean, I don't know that would have happened against Joe Thomas. But, you know, kind of going back to, hey, you got to roast the shitty players before.
That's right, baby.
You know, so you can compete against the good ones. So,
old buddy D.
To me, that was a positive.
Old buddy D-line, you can't win the Derby before you win the Kleeman race.
Exactly. And so you look at the defensive line, you mentioned that. Especially without Fairley, I was nervous. I was like, they're going to get mauled up front.
And
they didn't. They played really well on the front. There were a bunch of young players, second and third string guys that got sacks. So it was fun to see a little pass rush. And then on the offensive line, you know, just with Armstead out, Unger out, I was kind of expecting the offensive line to be a disaster. But pass protection was okay until Grayson kind of had the deer in the headlights thing. Yeah. And the Saints were able to run the ball pretty well. So, all in all, I mean, I think in the trenches, I mean, you take away the final score, you take away the couple big passes late in the game. I thought in the trenches up front, the Saints dominated that game. And now it's just the Browns, but that was encouraging for me. That was my biggest takeaway. I can live with DeShone Kizer throwing a couple bombs on Eric Harris and Damian Swan at the end of the game.
Damian Swan, if Bro is gone, which I think Bro is
not, he might actually play, yeah.
He might actually be on the team. I think Bro is not going to be on the Saints 53-man roster. I think Peyton is done with him, but we'll get to that at the end maybe.
Yeah,
but
news like this doesn't come out unless.
No.
I think also you look at Sean Payton's response today in the press. You know, they asked him to address it, and I've seen times where, you know, there's been these rumors, and he'll flat out come out and say, that's false. We're not trading the guy. I don't know where you hear that.
He could have done many number of things, but instead he detonated the bridge between the Saints and Delvin Bro. It's done. But the thing that was, you know, the Kamara hype was it's real and it's spectacular. To quote a Seinfeld reference from Dave, I mean. You texted me after like two runs. You're like, I've seen enough of Kamara. Get him out and don't play him the rest of the preseason. Is that not accurate?
Pretty much, yeah.
I mean, this is going to seem like an odd comparison, but do you remember the running back for Carolina, their first Super Bowl, Steven Davis?
Of course.
He reminds me of
former Redskins.
Yeah, he reminds me of a smaller Steven Davis in that he has this really compact sort of choppy running style, but his balance is like crazy good. His running style, it's a little unique. But that's who he reminded me of, which is a weird comparison. But that, I mean, look, he's going to be really fun and good. I don't know how much the Saints are going to use him. But I think he's potentially a matchup.
Well, they need to find a way.
Yeah, I mean, he's potentially going to be a matchup nightmare for them, for other teams. Before we get to the rest of the defense, Tommy Lee Lewis, they had some people going at you and different people on Twitter about him making the team, not making the team. I feel like Tommy Lee Lewis is going to make the team. I know he's tiny and this slot guy, whatever. I just feel like he's a guy that's second year. They look at him. They think he can do things, make plays. I think he's going to make the roster. Am I wrong?
I mean, I just feel like every year there's a guy that, forget what he can do in the regular season. I mean, forget what he's capable of. Every year there's a guy that lights it up in preseason. Mm-hmm. In the past, it's been Adrian Arrington. It's been Joe Morgan. It's been, you know, it's been a bunch of guys. And most of them don't amount to much in the regular season. But every year there's a guy in preseason that lights it up. And they always make the team, in my experience. In my years of watching football, the guys that light it up in preseason and produce do not get cut. And you look at his game, it was incredible. I mean, his performance, literally, there were three different quarterbacks at different times in the game. They were all just pushing the ball to him. All those quarterbacks that came in were most comfortable going to Lewis. And if you look at his, I think he had, 11 catches and 12 targets. So you talk about his size, his lack of size, but that didn't prohibit him from catching 11 balls out of 12.
And here's the thing. So, like, if you cut him, he's gone. Because there's enough teams in the NFL that are wide. See, that's the thing with, I think, a lot of Saints fans is, because the Saints have never had serious wide receiver issues because Breeze is so great, they don't realize that other teams are fucking dying for any receiver that can make a play. I'm talking the Clevelands, the Jets.
Oh, I'm telling you right now, after what he did to the Browns, there is no way the Browns aren't claiming him if he goes on waivers.
You know,
zero chance they won't claim him.
Yeah, and that's another thing that's really interesting that I forgot, but we're gonna go back to the defenses. Defensive end, it's crazy, but Nick, I don't know if we've mentioned it before, he watches the film, but he mentioned it, and I went back and watched the game again. Muhammad was pretty good in that game. And he was. And Andrew, I think he's one more quarterback hit away from being uncuttable. Either they're going to have to IR him, or he's making the 53, because teams – we talk about being desperate. Some teams are desperate for playmakers. I'm telling you, all NFL teams, practically all of them, are desperate for corners and guys that can get to the quarterback. And
well, Muhammad's kind of feeling like Onyemata last year a little bit now. You know, a guy that's on the roster. It's maybe a little raw, but he has all the measurables. You know, kind of feels like a physical freak. He's got the power. He's got the size.
That spin move was sick.
I mean, listen, I think Muhammad, right now he's on the roster. I think he's got to do something to knock himself off of it at this point. But in my opinion, he's on, and I'm a little surprised. You know, I really thought Trey Hendrickson would be that guy, but he hasn't been playing. He's been hurt.
He just
came back to practice, and Muhammad has leapfrogged him.
I would bet a week's pay that Hendrickson is the IR redshirt special.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, you know, there's still a chance that they could both make the team. But you know, I wouldn't mind. You know, Muhammad's not going to be a guy with a major role, but, you know, he could be kind of that fourth defensive end where, you know, maybe he gets a few snaps a game, and if someone gets injured, maybe he becomes a sub in year one. Mm-hmm. And you can kind of bring him along slowly this year like they did with Onyemata last year.
You know, Onyemata, back to him, he's sneaky. He played almost 38% of the snaps last year. You know, so and that's a good.
Well, it's going to be more than that this year.
Yeah,
for sure.
And the thing is with him is, you know, we were talking earlier today, you know, the defensive roster being devoid of talent. You know, if other teams could pick over the Saints roster, you were saying, look, Cam Jordan would be a guy they would take, and then maybe Lattimore because he's a number one pick. Who else did we say that they would – Vaccaro.
Vaccaro,
teams would take. And I said to you, after
like
the
– no one's beaten down the door for the Saints linebackers. It's not one.
No, yeah. But after those three guys we just mentioned, I think on spec, if you were doing like an expansion draft and you were picking over the Saints, even, I would take Onyemata over everybody else in the roster. I mean,
over Rankins? No.
Yeah, I mean, okay, Rankins. Rankins you would take, but he would be next. And there was nobody after Rankins that you would take. I mean, people would argue Williams, but I can get a safety that's pretty decent. If Onyemata with his physical skills and
wait, which one, PJ or Marcus?
Marcus.
Marcus, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think Onyemata can – to me, if they can get 2013.
Yeah, I don't know that he's starting for other teams, but they would be like, he's a nice sub. Like, he's a guy I would want as my third or fourth defensive tackle.
Yeah. Can he give them 2013 Akeem Hicks numbers?
I still think it's a little soon. I mean, Akeem Hicks was a pretty damn good player. You know, his issues were not quality and ability. I think it was more just, you know, he kind of came and went, yeah, you know, in terms of effort. Onyemata is a little different in that I think he's a little bit more raw maybe than Hicks, but he
definitely more so because he didn't play in
high. But his effort is there. I think he seems like a smarter player, and he seems like he's got, well, I don't know. Actually, Akeem Hicks was pretty smart too. I think it's more an effort thing with him. And man, the lights really come on for Akeem Hicks, by the way. I mean, he just had a monster season with the Bears last year.
The Saints are going to pay him $50 million in March. It's going to be the most hysterical thing you ever saw in your life.
Who's that?
Hicks.
Oh, no. There's no way he's coming back to New Orleans. But, you know, I mean, I think it's not out of the question that Onyemata could – so what, like, what was it, 4.5 sacks?
4.5 sacks and 35 tackles.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of hoping that's going to be Rankins, honestly. But, you know, I mean, it's not out of the question that Onyemata ends up being a better player this year than Rankins.
Wow. Saints fans are probably screaming at that.
Is that crazy of me to say that?
Well, Onyemata played more snaps last year than Rankins, you know? People would be like, what? I'm like, yeah, Onyemata played a bunch. I feel pretty good about the defensive line because I look at tackle. I think they can be okay. They got Cam Jordan. They got Kikaha doing stuff. They got Okafor. They can move Okafor inside on the pass. I was like, I feel like
Kikaha looks surprisingly good.
Kikaha has guy who has, you look back in his career in 5 years and he has just like one random shining season and the rest of it. And the rest of it is just injury sadness. But there's like 1 year where you're like, that dude had 12.5 sacks and 30 quarterback pressures and was a fucking animal. Before that and after that, he was injured and he was out of the league in 5 years. But that 1 year, he was awesome. And Kikaha today did the XXX wrestling celebration after he knocked down a pass. Kikaha getting double-digit sacks would be, on the fun meter, it would break the fun meter if Kikaha can have 10. Like, if you told me anybody on the Saints defense can get 10 sacks, I'd want it to be Kikaha because I think he'd be the most fun.
I'm with you. I love that guy.
But let's talk about something that I think is interesting because it gets to one of my pet peeves that I've been arguing with people all training camp long. Ken Crawley. Fans were on him, but explain to people your theory that he wasn't as bad as you think against Cleveland.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I think if you have a defensive player that's just getting roasted or biting horribly on a double move, or he's just beaten so bad that he grabs a handful of jersey and he gets roasted, then you're approaching Jason David and or Brandon Browner territory. And those players were unquestionably terrible. With Crawley, first of all, I mean, we saw signs of it last year. I thought there were times, you know, obviously a lot of people like to bring up the Julio Jones game. I mean, when he got beat by Victor Cruz for that game-winning touchdown against the Giants, I mean, he was right there. He was in position, turns around.
It wasn't a touchdown. It was like a 40-yard gain.
Right. But his hands were on the ball. He got it ripped out. I mean, it was a 50-50 play, but the thing I like about Crawley is, speaking generally, he, first of all, from a size and speed point of view, I mean, he measures out, like, ideally for a corner. So those are positive. But more so for me, it's that he's in a position to make the play. And every flag that got thrown in that game, I think there was one that was kind of egregious, but for the most part, every flag that got thrown in that game, and he was flagged, what, 3 or 4 times, they were 50-50 calls. Yep. I really thought he was in a position to make the play. He was aggressive. He was physical. And it could have gone either way. And, you know, I think when you're in a position like that and you're playing aggressive, the preseason is the perfect time to get a feel for how these refs are calling the game, what you can get away with, what you can't get away with. And, you know, I think he'll come back the following week and he'll play better. But I think when your corner is in position to make the play.
He made a great play on a fourth down.
He's aggressive. Yeah, he made a great play on fourth down. He's aggressive. He's around the football. Those are all super positive things. And I think all the negatives at this stage, you know, we're barely in a training camp. We just finished the first preseason game. Those are things you can live with. I really like the progress that Crawley's made. Mm-hmm. I'm not expecting him to be Darrell Revis. You know, I that's obviously not going to be in the cards, but can he be a pretty solid starting corner eventually if he continues to learn what he can get away with and what he can't? I think so. I really do. I believe, you know, again, the size and the speed are there. It's really just about putting it together. And to me, he's close.
Yeah, and here's the thing that it proves my point that I've been arguing with people all summer about. They're like, if Bro and Lattimore, if they could just be ready, and the rest of these rookies, if they're just and Ramchick, if they're just ready week one, I'm good. And here's the thing, especially with rookies and young players, they have to fucking practice. It's like anything in life, a guitar, learning a language, writing, whatever. You got to do it over and over again to get good. And here's the thing with Crawley, is he can get the reps, and they can go in and film and say, look, Ken, when this pass play, you can't do this with your hands, or you can't do that, you know, you can't grab them here because they'll flag you. So you've got to like tone it down or tone it up or whatever. And on the practice field, yeah, they can work with him. But the thing is, with Lattimore and they're talking about it with Ramchek. They're like, I read an article today about him. They're like, look, he's really good in running, but for pass blocking, he struggles with his sets and he struggles with his hands, but they're like, he's really coachable. And every day we tell him, look, do this, do that. And he learns it and he gets a little bit better every day. And that's why he needs to be out here. And that's the same thing with like these guys, Lattimore and Hendrick, they need to fucking practice. And if you just think they can be ready for week one, basically what you're saying is training camp doesn't really matter. And if training camp didn't matter, teams wouldn't fucking have it. You know?
Yeah, I'm with you. And, you know, I think, again, I just go back to, you know, the point with Crawley again, that these guys, they need to practice. And, you know, if availability, I mean, it goes back to availability, which is what Sean Payton talked about. And if they can get in practice and they can work on these things. I mean, the perfect example for me, you know, I know Delvin Bro's kind of on the outs, but you'll remember his first season with the Saints. Yeah, you know, he had numerous games where he had horrible penalties.
He was a mess in Arizona.
Yeah, he was a mess.
The first three or four weeks, he was a mess.
And, you know, he made some comments, you know, like, yeah, this is different than the CFL, and I just have to get used to it. And I remember when he said that, I'm like, yeah, okay, when is that going to happen? Like, year three? So, like, I'm expecting a long learning curve and him not to play well. But, you know, he got better every single week. And eventually, by week seven, he had it. And he was playing really well.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, with Crawley, especially being his second year, that he can kind of have accelerated growth. You know, it's good to see Ram pick back on the field.
Yeah,
too.
And that's the thing is I feel like this week, and you may shoot this down or whatever, but I feel like this was a key week, and that's why – They're leaking the stuff about Bro being on the trading block and Sean Payton was harping on availability last week. Because I feel like this week is the key week. They've got to get these rookies and all these players practicing because you're not playing in the fourth preseason game, right? Anybody that's going to be a contributor on the roster. So you got to play the second and third week. So if Lattimore and Hendrickson and Ramchek don't play this week, they're only going to get one preseason game in, and then you're going to expect them to be ready for Minnesota? How the fuck is that going to work? So they've got to practice this week and get two – they got to get two actual live games in, right?
Yeah, I mean, at least. Minimum.
I forgot my other question that I had. But anyway, this team sort of – I feel like they are – I know people say they're rebuilding or whatever, But where are you sort of on the optimism scale? I was like a 3 last week. I'm up to about a 5, but I just, you know, this, I have mixed emotions. Go ahead.
You know, I mean, a lot of guys are back at practice, so that makes me feel good. I think from a morale standpoint, just 10 losses in a row in preseason, I mean, it's getting a little ridiculous. Yeah, I'm Sean Payton, I just think winning breeds winning. And I think sometimes, like, you just need that for your psyche. And so if I'm Sean Payton, I'm maybe playing my starters longer in the second game, and I'm telling the players, look, like, you guys need to do at all costs. Like, we need to win this game. We have to find a way to win this game. And I want to get that monkey off the staff.
Yeah, and the thing is, like,
they can't keep it. They can't keep this going, this losing.
You know, and the thing is, like, I think that's true. The thing is, though, like, they could – Sean Payton is smart enough, and Dennis Allen, too. They could goose that game against San Diego and just scheme a little on offense and play Drew Brees and scheme just, like, a tiny, tiny bit on offense and defense. And I don't say they can guarantee themselves a victory, but they can come pretty close, you know? And but you're like saying it. I mean, 10 in a row it's getting fucking ridiculous. You know, with what they've done, I know what I want to talk about. We get obsessed with the 2017 draft, right, Andrew? We're like, Hendrickson and Williams and all these players, like, they're all great, and you know, they're all going to be fucking diamonds, and it's going to be 6 starters, and Anzalone's going to be awesome, and he's going to blah, 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 blah. And I think, like, we forget about the previous drafts, but man, you look at 2016 draft, it was, we knew it was good last year, and you've got... Mm-hmm. Rankin's gonna get a full season. Thomas and fucking Bell and Onyemata. I mean, it's, to me, you should be, as a Saints fan, you should be more excited about 2016 than 2017 draft.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's more likely that those guys are gonna be able to come in and contribute right away. You know, I think especially with Lattimore, if you look at what's been going on up to this point, I mean, for him to play and play well week 1. That's going to be tough for him. I think that's a tall mountain. Same with Ramczyk. You know, he's being thrown into the fire. I don't know how well he's going to play. But yeah, I mean, a lot of times, and we saw with Tyler Davison, for example, a lot of times that year 2 leap can be pretty significant. So I'm really hoping we see that from Onyemata and some of those guys, but Rankins obviously, and some of the rookies from last year. But These that draft class is starting to look pretty solid.
I mean, the thing is with 2016 is Vaughn Bell is a good. I don't know how great he's going to be, but Vaughn Bell, if he's healthy, he's going to be a 10-year player in the NFL. Like, he may end up having limitations and being, you know, he may be more on the, let's say he's more on the Roman Harper side of the safety scale where he struggles in coverage or whatever. But Roman Harper played a decade. Mm-hmm. And if you got that of a second round pick, that's a home run in a second round pick. I don't care what the fucking Irish pamphlet guy that does quarterback says. When you draft a guy in the second round, he plays a decade, that's a win. You know, and you get Rankins. But I guess my question is, going into it, if I said to you, I'll include Michael Thomas too. If I said to you, Andrew, you get to pick one guy mm-hmm. for the 2016 draft that moves into top 4 of their position in the NFL, who do you pick?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, you've got 2 defensive tackles in Onyemata and Rankins, and I'm pretty confident they're both going to be decent this year. I mean, I don't know how good, but I'm willing to roll the dice and say that neither is going to be awful. So I would tend to pick someone else. Who else did they take?
They had Rankins, Thomas, Bell, Onyemata, Lasko.
Well, Thomas is already there. So I would probably pick Bell.
Wow, you would pick Bell as the...
Yeah, yeah, top four safety. Yeah, because, I mean, I think Rankins is going to be okay. I think Onyemata, I'm hopefully he's going to be pretty good. I mean, Michael Thomas is borderline already there.
Yeah.
You know, Lasko, I mean, the Saints are loaded at running back, so I don't really care about Lasko. But, I mean, if they had a – I mean, if Bell vaults to top four safety in the league, that means he's getting a lot of picks, which means wins are going to be a lot easier to come by.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting with the 2016 draft in that the thing that fascinates me is if Michael Thomas becomes like a top four receiver, and say he becomes the best offensive weapon Drew Brees has ever had, like what does it do to this Saints offense? I don't know. Like, does it make it? Like, how good can it be 2011 good? Can it be 2012 good? Which we forget how good 2012 was. They scored a shit ton of points. They had the worst defense in the history of the NFL, and they went 7-9. You know, if Michael Thomas
that's
is
the top, floor.
So look, if Drew Brees is starting every 16 games, that's the floor. So it becomes interesting. Before we get to the questions, they're playing San Diego on, what is it, Sunday at 3? Is that right? So what are you looking for?
Is it Saturday
at 3? So what are you looking for? Give me two quick things you're looking for the Saints versus the Chargers.
First of all, it's Sunday.
Sunday at 7 on the NFL Network. That can't be. Is that right? I guess so. That's what it said. I thought it was 3, but anyway, go ahead. Two things you're looking for.
I think first of all, I just want to see Ryan Ramczyk play well. You know, and you're right. Yes, it is a nationally televised game. Yep, Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern. Yep, sure enough. I think the main thing for me is I'm just looking for some solid play from Ramczyk.
He's starting. Unless he's hurt, he's starting against Minnesota, I think.
Yeah, and he's going to be the Saints' left tackle, and so this will be his first outing. I'm not expecting him to be great. But I just want to see him be decent and just feel good that left tackle is going to be okay until Armstead comes back, which could be quite a while. Offensively, I'm still not worried. You know, as long as left tackle works out, I feel like the receivers are good. You know, the running backs are good. Drew Brees is going to be fine. I feel good about the offense. So, I mean, I think for me, it really I feel good about the kicking game right now. So for me, it really revolves around defense. And I think the main thing I'm looking for, I'm feeling better about the defensive line. To me, it's the corners. And if Bro is really on the outs,
he is.
Then listen, all these other guys, I mean, Devontae Harris, Ken Crawley, PJ Williams, Lattimore, I mean, they've all got to play better than I think they're capable of.
Yeah, and I joked about
this. We talked about Osweiler and how terrible he was, and how part of the Saints being successful against him was him just missing guys by a mile. So they're going to go up against Philip Rivers, and you know the Chargers, they're not the greatest team in the league by any means, but they do have some offensive firepower, and so I think when you look at their roster. I think it's going to be more challenging to go up against that passing attack.
They have a lot of devastating injuries, though. You talk about
they do, but I mean they've got Keenan Allen, they've got Antonio Gates, yeah. You know, they've got Rivers. I mean they can throw the ball.
Yeah, they don't. Don't have their first two draft picks, their second round picks out for the year, and their wide receiver they picked isn't going to be ready until October.
Oof. Yeah, Mike Williams, yeah. Right? Yeah.
But no, that's a good point. And the thing is, like. Philip Rivers he can make throws obviously that Osweiler just like basic simple throws that Osweiler just fucking can't make. Philip Rivers can do it in his sleep. So it'll be interesting. And San Diego, their defense, they have Ingram, a pass rusher, so that'll be fun. You'll get some.
Yeah, it'll be a step up, I think, in terms of challenging the Saints defense from the Browns. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think the number one thing for me, you asked me to two things, and I already listed two, but number three for me, which is probably number one most important, is just find a way to win the game. I mean, at this point, like, these guys, they need, you know, I mean, remember, they were 0-4 in preseason the last 2 years, and they started 0-3 in the regular season. So I just think there's a spillover effect sometimes, especially with young players, where, you know, they have trouble figuring out how to close games and win, and they just need that confidence.
Yeah. And also, too, the
Saints need to win a freaking preseason game.
And if you're a Garrett Grayson fan, enjoy it while you got it, because I feel like he may be, like, one more bad performance from getting cut. You know?
Well, he does. Well, I mean, you don't get cut anymore.
That's
until
true.
The end.
You don't get cut till the end, so I take it back.
But I mean, I'd like to see more of Ryan Nassib.
I feel like if you play Nassib in the second half, like, they have a much better chance of winning the game. So let's get to some questions. This is from Judo Mike. What is the most likely landing spot for Bro and the return for him? Philadelphia.
I said a fifth round pick. You know, so I have no idea where he goes. I mean, I think ideally the Saints want him to go to the AFC. So that would be, I think, the Saints' first choice if they can get him out of the conference. In terms of return, my guess would be a fifth round conditional pick.
Yeah.
I think, well, first of all, he's got to get healthy, because you can't trade an injured player. If he won't pass his physical, it won't work. So first he's got to get healthy. But assuming he gets healthy, I think best case scenario is a conditional fifth round pick. And by conditional, I mean, you know, if he makes the roster and he plays, let's say, 12 games, it's a fifth round pick. And, you know, if he gets cut in training camp, then if he gets cut before, like, you know, the first game, then they get nothing. And then if he only plays, like, let's say, two games or four games, maybe it's a sixth round pick.
Yeah. I think
it would be something like that.
I think it could be as high as a fourth, depending on, like, if I could see it being like, it's a fifth or a sixth if he makes the roster, and if he plays more than 10 games, it's a fourth. Like, I could see it, because teams are fucking desperate for corners. Like,
I've heard a couple guys be like, oh, there's no way they're getting anything. But you have to realize, like, the guy's salary, Bro makes peanuts.
Yeah.
And that's worth something.
And
he's a restricted free agent next year. So whoever would acquire him would have the cards for how they handle
that. So especially if you're a team that you think you can be in the playoffs or whatever, like, if it's a conditional, and let's say it works out and he starts a dozen games and you have to give up a fourth, you tender him at a second round level next year and you pay him $2 million.
Yeah.
And a fourth round pick for 2 years of that, teams would do that in a heartbeat. So where he goes, I have no idea. I would throw out the Texans, and I would throw out the Ravens. They're badly injured, and they fancy themselves as being a playoff team, so maybe the Ravens could be a spot. This is from Brian Smith. How likely is it that Bro will be traded to a team with a competent training staff and start selling how likely would be traded to a competent training staff and look awesome in 2017?
Well, that hasn't really happened to the Saints much. I mean, it's not like Spiller, Jairus Byrd, or Junior Gallette. You know, I mean, it's not like they've unloaded a guy that's gone somewhere else. I mean, I guess maybe Malcolm Jenkins, you could say. But they didn't really get rid of him because of injury. They got rid of him because they just didn't really like him as a player. Yeah, I don't know. My gut tells me that Bro is what he is, a guy that's just often injured. And I think Bro is going to be kind of like Ellerbe, in that he'll be great when he plays, but you can't count on him for more than six to ten games a year.
I disagree. I think his leg break has taken away his ability to run. And I think
you think he's gone full Keenan Lewis.
I think he's gone full. I think he might not be in the league in 2018. I, you know, but we'll see. This is from Deuce. Will the podcast be hosted live at the new Dixie Brewery upon its completion? Deuce, I hope so. Dixie Brewery, we're willing to have a sponsor. We don't even need money. Just give us a keg of Dixie beer and we're good to go. So, let's see. Which rookie in the NFC South scares you the most, McCaffrey or O.J. Howard? That's a good question. That's from Velveteen Rico.
I would say O.J. Howard, only because I just don't think Carolina and McCaffrey are a great fit. I think he will help Cam Newton, and I think he will make Cam Newton better. But I question whether that offense is a great fit for him. So I think that he's miscast maybe a little bit. It could be a little bit of a square peg, especially early on. At least I'm hoping. But, I mean, I think McCaffrey, you put him in an offense like the Patriots or the Saints or the Lions, I think he'd be a beast. But I think Carolina may slow down his development a little bit. So I think O.J. Howard's going to be more scary.
Oh, my God, O.J. Howard scares the fuck out of me. Like O.J., I loved O.J. Howard so much when I watched his YouTube clips. Like, if the Saints would have picked him at 11, I'd have been like, eh, I can pump myself up for it because he's going to be phenomenal in the Saints offense. It would have freaked everybody out.
Yeah. But, and we could have gotten rid of Kobe Fleener, which would have been nice.
This is from Alfredo. Any players already in do-or-die situation in this preseason game? It's a good question.
Well, I would say Delvin Bro, but he's not going to play.
Yeah,
so.
It's not do or die because they don't have the cuts, but I get what you're saying, Alfred. I mean, the thing is, though, you're running out of time.
I'd say Trey Hendrickson is do or die. I mean, I think at this point,
yeah,
not only, like, Okafor is looking good, Kikaha is looking good. So I think Kikaha is kind of, I think, locked down the primary backup pass rusher at defensive end. And now Muhammad's looking really good. And don't forget Daryl Tapp, who's kind of like the journeyman that they like. So there's a lot of guys that are practicing that are kind of ahead of Hendrickson in the pecking order now. And I think it's do or die for him. I think it's do or die for Damian Swan, who was miserable on that touchdown pass that he gave up. I mean, he got torched.
Well, I think it's do or die for Trey Hendrickson in a sense of it's either 53 or the medical red shirt.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think he'd get cut.
Damian Swan, it's do or die because he's running out of – like, you run out of time.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
I mean, Grayson's another guy you could lump in there. I mean, I would argue he's already dead. But, I mean, I guess you can't rule out that he throws four touchdowns. But, I mean, that's basically his only chance at this point. So, I mean, it's definitely do or die for him.
This is from Garen. What's worse, trading Bro for an 2018 sixth or starting another undrafted free agent at corner all year?
Both?
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Look, man, if they trade Bro, they're starting an UDFA at corner. It's Crawley. That's going to be, man, because if they trade Bro, it's Crawley, PJ Williams, and Lattimore, and maybe Lattimore gets healthy and by Halloween is really good and he bumps Crawley down, but they're going to play two. I mean, maybe they go two corners, four safeties. If they want to go six defensive backs, but I mean, Crawley's playing, man. You better.
He's a starter. He's starting over Lattimore right now.
This is from Adrian. Who is happier, you with Rooney or Andrew with Neymar?
I mean, it's not even close. Like, I mean, Rooney's a has-been.
Scored the winning goal last Saturday, man.
Yeah, okay, but Neymar gives PSG a legit chance to win Champions League.
Where does PSG get all this money, man?
Qatari oil, man.
Man, gee, they're making a profit just like doesn't even factor in.
Like, well, there is the whole FIFA fair play, but I mean, the thing is, the Qatari oil, like, they basically make up these sponsorships that are really bankrolled by Qatari oil as well. So it's basically like they're giving sponsorships to their own team, but it's, you know, funded through shell companies that seem like something else. And I think that's how they get around it.
Man, I want Everton got a billionaire owner, but he's not Qatari oil money rich though. Brian asked, the doomsday clock is where? The doomsday clock, Brian, it's like It's like 7:45, 8. I know the bro thing is bad.
Yeah.
But
I mean, that's the bro thing is like throwing in the towel. Yeah.
But the thing is,
it's not that I think bro is so good or that I'm counting on him for several games, but like we can't forget the division the Saints play in.
Yeah.
The Falcons just made the Super Bowl. They have the reigning MVP. The year before that, Cam Newton was the MVP. And by the way, the Bucs have a first overall pick at quarterback with Mike Evans and OJ Howard as his weapon. So like you can't get away with shitty corners, and that's what the Saints have right now. So, especially in this division, how can you compete with those?
I mean, they might be able to get away with crap corners against Minnesota because I know Sam Bradford completes a lot of throws, but he doesn't throw the ball downfield, and their offensive line is terrible. So they might be able to get away with it, Minnesota. They ain't getting away with it against New England, and they're probably not getting away with it against Carolina. And even against Jay Cutler, they're probably not getting away. Miami has three good receivers. So, I mean – and the thing is, at least with defensive line, you can talk yourself into all these options that they have, right? At corner, there's nothing that they have, and there's nothing coming in, and they're just fucked.
Yeah.
They're just fucked, and I don't, like, I don't...
I mean, I'm giving up on Bro playing in the second preseason game, and probably even the third. So my hope at this point is that he finds his way back to the field for the fourth preseason game. He plays well, and it's all kumbaya, and he comes back, and the Saints didn't really get anything for him. No one really wanted to offer anything, so Sean Payton's like, fine, I guess we'll stick it out, and then he kind of comes back in the regular season, and he starts to play pretty well. I mean, that's the ideal scenario. If they ship him out, man, we're starting to rely on Devontae Harris and Ken Crawley all over again.
This is from Deuce. He asks, he says, trade Delvin Bro to the Eagles for Patrick Robinson. Deuce, I'm for it because Patrick Robinson, as far as I know, is healthy. I'm for it.
Not for long, he's not.
He
would trip, like coming down the stairs of the airplane. He would roll his ankle and hit his face on the concrete on the runway.
Out 4 to 6.
And be paralyzed. Yeah.
It is true. It is true. So, I mean, we're into week two. You want health Saints to win the game, and I want to get irrationally excited about somebody in the front seven not named Cam Jordan, even if it's bullshit sacks from Hendrickson or Muhammad in the second half or whatever. I want to get irrationally excited about somebody in the front seven not named Cam Jordan. That's my wish for week two of the preseason. If you had a wish, Andrew, what would you wish for in the second preseason game?
A win.
That's, you're desperate to get that.
I just want to win. Yeah. I don't make it 11 in a row, for God's sake.
Man. All right. That about wraps it up. Dave was MIA tonight. Kevin is still, he's at a prayer vigil for Ric Flair. Seriously, Nature Boy, get well. We love you. You're the best. So for Dave and Kevin, who are MIA, for Andrew, until next week, the bar is closed.